Parshas Vayetze begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Bereshova v'yelech Aronu. And as we know, the Beis Halevi is Masber, what's the double lashon Vayetze v'yelech? Could have just said v'yelech. So he says that when a person leaves a place, he either leaves for one of two reasons. He either leaves because he needs to leave the place, even though he doesn't specifically have to go somewhere. Or he has to specifically go somewhere, even though he doesn't have to specifically leave the place. Yaakov Avinu, both of them were true. He had to leave Be'er Shava, because that's where Esav was after him. And he had to go to Haran, because his parents sent him to find the Shidduch. So that's where he was headed to. He's headed to find the Shidduch. And Rashi, at the end of last week's parasha, makes the whole cheshbon that really, he made a stopover. He left Be'er Sheva, and he went to Haran, but he stopped on the way for 14 years in Yeshiva's Shem Ve'ever to learn Torah. And Chazal tell us that even though Yaakov Avinu was Nenash, that Yosef HaTzadik was away from him for 22 years because he was a Mekayim Kibud Al for 22 years, nevertheless, for those 14 years that he was learning, he wasn't Nenash. He wasn't Nenash for 36 years. Only Nenash for 22 years. The Shaila is, what's Takav Shat? B'mayim Muzgar. What's Takav Shat that he wasn't Nenash? L'chero, a mitzvah she'ef shalasis ha'yedei achirim, she'ef shalasis ha'yedei achirim, l'chero yef nevatal tamotir for him. Who was being Mekayim Kibud Al Ve'im there by Yitzchok and by Rivka? Esav of Russia was there? Maybe. We know that he was Mekayim by Yitzchok. The question was, he also Mekayim by Rivka? And if the Nekud is, and if there was somebody there, Maman of Shach, if there isn't somebody there, you have to Mevatal Tamatur. And if there is somebody there, so why did he get Nesh afterwards? L'chur is somebody else to be Mekayim. And that's what it was in Nidu B'chlal. So L'chur, you could say that in a Chanami, they both had the Yechirlis to be Mekayim. There was what to do for both of them. But L'chur Pashup Shah maybe is that was the Kibud Al Ve'im. The learning for 14 years, that's what his parents wanted him to do. His parents wanted him to, that was the biggest Kibud Al Ve'im. To do what your parents want, L'chur, that's the biggest Kibud Al Ve'im. After he stopped learning, and then he went to go find a wife, and he spent 20 years along the way, then there was a time. It's just interesting to note that he was already married. After 7 years he got married, and he was married for the next 15 years before he came back. And there was still a time on him that he should have been Mekayim Kibud Al Ve'im. Which just means that even after you get married, there's still a chiyuv of Kibud Al Ve'im, even though it says, Al kin yazav odemes, ovev yasima ve'dovak bishta v'yoli ba'aser echad. A person is yazav ovev imoy. It doesn't mean that there's not a chiyuv of Kibud Al Ve'im. There's less by a woman than there is by a man, because she is a shiva to her husband. But a husband, even though he's now a husband, he still has a chiyuv of Kibud Al Ve'im. And this comes up many times. A person has to realize that even though when he's married, he must stand by his wife's side, no matter what the situation is. However, this doesn't mean that there's no Kibud Al Ve'im, that everything falls by the wayside. If there's a difference in loyalties between a parent and a spouse, a person has to know how to bridge the gap without causing any harm to either side. While standing by your wife, you still have to be Mekayim Kibud Al Ve'im. Now sometimes you have to do acrobatics to be able to do that. And a person has to ask a question to know how to do it in the proper way. But it's not that one should just, that it just goes by the wayside, even though you must stand by your wife and you should stand by your wife. However, there's still a chiv of Kibud Al Ve'im. Yaakov continues on and he gets to Haran and he asks for Lavan. They send him to Lavan. And they say, he comes and he goes to the bear, that's where he finds Shidduchim, and he finds Rachel. And they take him home, and Lavan says, and he says, I'm willing to work 7 years for your daughter Rachel. And he says, no problem. V'yavid Yaakov v'Rachel sheva shonam v'yu be'inov ki yomim achodim b'havos ha'yoysam. And it was the 7 years were like a few days. B'havos ha'yoysam. So everybody asks, what does that mean? L'chura, any time that you're looking forward so much to something, so it seems like it's an eternity by the time that it comes. Here, it sounds like it's the other way around. He was looking forward so much, and nevertheless, it seemed like it passed by so quickly. L'chura, the pashup shot is that if somebody would tell you that in 7 years, if you work for me for 7 years, I'll give you $20 million. I'll pay you $20 million at the end of 7 million years. 7 years. So now, the standard person in 7 years is not making $20 million. Halavai should make $1 million. He makes his $1 million in 7 years. Terrific. If he's telling you, I'll give you $20 million in 7 years, that means that I'm willing to pay 7 years is nothing to make $20 million. Who's making $20 million in 7 years? When you appreciate what it's worth, when you appreciate the value, so 7 years is such a small hashka for such a great value. Yaakov Avinu realized that with this woman, he's going to be Bein HaKlal Yisrael. To be Meichin himself, to be Bein HaKlal Yisrael, that all he needs is 7 years, says that's Yom HaKadim for what he's going to be doing. And his wife is going to be one that's going to bring ultimately the Gula Shleimo. Rochel Mavakal Baneo, Yishtzokha Lefula Osteichem HaShem. This is being Bein HaKlal Yisrael, starting Klal Yisrael, and the finish of Klal Yisrael is coming through the Shidduch right now. That's Yom HaKadim. You appreciate what it is when a person realizes what it is. His ava, b'avos ha'yosa, is the ava of realizing that the quality of what the shidduch is going to bring about, it was Yom HaKadim. But the word that I wanted to say is the Yom HaKadim word. It says, Yom HaKadim, Rashi points out, v'yu be'onav ki Yom HaKadim, Rashi says, hey mi yomim HaKadim sh'omer le'imai. These are the Yom HaKadim sh'omer le'imai. At the end of last week's parasha, if you remember, says that Rivka sent Yitzchok sent Yaakov to go find the wife, and he says that v'yugad l'rivkas divrei Esav b'no agadol v'tishach v'tikru l'yaakov b'no akoton v'termir lov v'nei Esav achicho misnachem l'chol argechol. You took the brachas away, he's after you. V'ato b'ni shema v'koyli v'kum rach l'chol l'lovan ochi charonu. Run away to Lovan. Yashavti imo yomim achodim ad asher toshuv chamas achicho. Stay by him for yomim achodim until ad yashuv chamas achicho. So lehedio, she's going ahead and saying, you should stay by him for yomim achodim. Rashi says by us, avot choshev ashonim, heim yomim achodim shomer leimoy. Yashavti imo yomim achodim. Veteida shakein shriksi v'yubeinov ki yomim achodim. That's the yomim achodim shomer leishte. When he said 7 years, he was referring to his mother told him that you could stay there for a certain amount of time. This is a certain amount of time. The question begs to be asked, if that's the case, why did he get Nenash? Why was he Nenash for 22 years? Lechurit had only been 15 years. This question bothered me very much. When I was a Bachar, I asked the Tzor Menachem Tzvi Finkel. And he told me a teretz which is so powerful, the lesson is so powerful, that it plays out in so many different ways in life. He said as follows. He says, Vayu be'enov ki yom ha'machadim. In Yaakov's eyes, it was Yom HaKadim. 7 years is nothing for what he was going to get. But if he would have put himself in his mother's shoes, it wasn't Yom HaKadim at all. That wasn't Yom HaKadim. That wasn't 7 years, not what she had in mind. She had in mind much less than that. For me, in a Hanami, 7 years seems like nothing. But if I would put myself in my mother's shoes, and her son is gone for this many years, that's not Yom HaKadim. This is a lesson which applies to all aspects of life. A person would be able to put themselves in somebody else's shoes, which we know that we can't. Al tadin es chaver chach tegin l'makoymoy, and you can't be magil l'makoymoy. So never dan him up in a chanami. You talk a shouldn't. But if a person would take a little bit of time to try to appreciate where the next person is coming from, then it'll change his relationship with his family, with his neighbors, with anybody he comes in contact with. To think about where the person is coming from. Revolba in Chelek Beis, where he has a Avoda Musaris, where he's working on, he has different Vadim to work on different Midos. The very first set of Vadim, second set, the first one is Islamdos, which is general. Afterwards, the first Midah that he works on really is Chesed. And the first Vad in Chesed, at the end of the Vad, his practical application of how you should put it into place, is he says that it says in the Torah, Dei Machzor Asher Yechzar Loi. The person is lacking something, and you want to fill their chesser, it says, Asher Yechzar Loi, what the person is lacking. And Chazal tell us, Afilu Sus Lirka Velov, Afilu Ever Lovers Lefono, even if a person is lacking, the person was a millionaire, and he didn't just go and go by foot. He had a chariot, and he had horses, and he had people, fleet-footed people running in front, heralding his coming. If that's what he's missing, that's what you got to give him. Which means practically, the millionaire goes up, you know, now he has to go with public transportation. If you would have the ability to give him a Lexus, then he should be able to, that's what he should do. Well, I don't know, Aldini Kadima, if there's people that don't have bread and somebody that needs a Lexus, it could be that you have to give the person that has bread. But if you have the ability, that's Asher Yechzar Lei. What do you mean? That's Asher Yechzar Lei. That's what other people don't have, you know, they're just getting by. And this guy needs his Lexus? Yeah, because you're not appreciating what his embarrassment. You're not appreciating what it used to be for him. With the famous story of in Temchei Shabbos, that a guy went to a gvir, and he went to a gvir and he asked him. He said, "We have Temchei Shabbos. We give boxes for people for Shabbos. We want to know, can you sponsor somebody for a week?" So he says, "I'm happy to sponsor a person for a week. Just I have to know the person that we're be giving to." So he says, "I'm sorry. That's personal information. Absolutely, we cannot give it out." So he says, "You know what? I'll pay for 10 boxes. 10 boxes for 10 different people. But I need to know at least the names of the people." He says, I can't do it. He says, "You know what? How many boxes do you give out a week? 500 boxes. 250 boxes, I'll pay. But I need to know the name of the people I'm giving to. At least a little bit. A little bit of akaras hatayim." He says, "I can't." He says, "You know what? I'll pay for all the boxes. The entire week, I'll pay for all the boxes. Just give me the names." He says, "I can't do it no matter how much money you give me." He says, "If that's the case, put me down on the list. People look at me like I was a rich person, but I have no money left. And I'm too embarrassed to ask. But now I see that nobody knows, and he won't get it for anything, any amount of money. Put me on the list. I need a box as well." To appreciate what this person is going through. Everybody looks at him as the richest person. People come to him from donations, and he doesn't have food to put on the table for Shabbos. To appreciate what this guy is, it's embarrassing for him. He used to drive a Lexus, and now he's going on public transportation. Now he's going to appreciate where the other person is coming from. That's the first step. So he says, Rav Olba says at the end of the Vod, he says, that's our avoda this week. The people that you come in contact with, try to feel what they're missing. Try to see what they're missing. And a lot of people after this Vod, they close it, and that's it. How are you supposed to, every person that you come in contact with, you're supposed to figure out what the person is? So he starts off, and everybody continues, you go to the next week's Vod. He starts, he says, oh, we're having a little bit of difficulty with this. So it's very hard to understand what a person is missing without them telling you straight out what they're missing. Only then could you really get into to figure out what they're missing. So that's just because we're so focused on ourselves that it's hard to come out of our... And we start thinking, what are people missing? And all the things that we come up with that people are missing are things that we've asked them ourselves would want. Because we're really looking at other people in the context of ourselves. But if you're able to pull out for a minute, pull out of yourself, and try to focus on another person, try to feel what the other person is missing, then you'll be able to really appreciate what the person needs. There's a story of a certain rebbe that one of his chassidim was an alman, lost his wife. And he's making a chasana. The kids and the rabbi goes to the chasana, and after the chasana, the alman goes home, everybody goes home. There's a knock on the door. The alman's house. He opens the door. Who's there? The rabbi's there. What's the rabbi doing here? He says, can I come in? Sure. Please, yeah, okay, absolutely. He sits down with him, and he says, no, who was by the chasana? Who came to the chasana? Who was there? The cousins were there. All your neighbors were also there, and the people from the shul. Which chassidim came? Which other? Who flew in from which call? He sat there for the next 2 hours discussing with him exactly who was there, and who came, and who was Mitzaref, and who was there, and who stayed from the beginning. And who? Why? Because he didn't have a wife to do that with. And after the chassana, they get together, and they sit down, and they discuss who was there, and they appreciate it. And he didn't have that. He's coming home to an empty house. He's coming home. He's able to appreciate what is this person missing, even though he's totally not... And that's something that a person... If a person really takes a minute to think about it, certainly when it's a person who you never encountered beforehand, certainly that's very difficult. But somebody that you have a shaychus with, a spouse, children, the basics of the relationship is to feel what the person is missing. To feel what the person is. It happens to be a tremendous shalom bayis tip, but to be able to understand if the wife appreciates that you understand where she's coming from, then it's a whole different story. Most of the argument continues simply because you haven't appreciated her stance. You haven't understood where she's coming from. As soon as you understand where she's coming from, then everything falls by the wayside. When she appreciates you understand where she's coming from, then right, like the famous song she says that right, she has a headache. So you say to her, so take a Tylenol. That's not what she wanted to hear. She wanted to hear a Tylenol. She knows also that there's Tylenol in the cabinet. She doesn't need you to say that. But to feel that she's something is hurting her. Feel that something is. But it's everybody. It's not just the spouse. It's especially with children. The child if you don't, even though for you it looks like something which is silly, right? Somebody took something of his.
Grow up. What is that?
We know Rabbi Solanter would say that when a person takes away the kid's, when he's in his rubber ducky, his boat, when he's in the playing in the bathtub and he has a boat and somebody takes away his boat for him, it's like for an adult when they sink his yacht. That's what it's like. For him, this is his. So for you, it looks like something which is silly. And for a 2-year-old, this is silly. And for a 5-year-old, that's silly. And 10-year-old, this is silly. And 15-year-old, this is silly. We think it's silly. But for him, that's his whole life. And to before he gets screamed at by a Rebbe, right? A child comes home, he gets screamed at by a teacher, by a Rebbe, by whatever. He comes, so what did you do wrong? Well, I was talking in the middle of class, and, what were you doing talking in the middle of class? You just killed him. You're right. He's got to find out that he's not supposed to be talking to the class. But you have to appreciate that he just came home and he was just screamed at by his Rebbe, and now he's coming home and now his parents are screaming at him. That's not what he needs. He needs to feel that he's being understood, that he just got thrown out of class, and he's, whatever it is, whatever the situation is, the wife needs to feel that the husband is there, the neighbors need to feel that you're taking them into account whenever you do whatever it is, you're making noise at night. Every person has to feel that lemaisa, you're taking them into account. The son of Reb Chaim Volozhin, he writes in the Akdamah to Nefesh HaChaim, he says, V'koi hoyo dvorei alai tomid shezek kol ha'odom. Loi la'atzmai nivro, rak lahoyo la'achrini kechol asher yimtza b'koi chalasais. This person is here to help other people. Help other people. The first step of really trying to help other person is to understand where they're coming from. To understand what's causing them to act this way. To understand why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. To understand what they're lacking. If you take a minute to put yourself in their shoes, then you will improve your relationship to a tremendous degree.